And Lord, this day we are here for the purpose of honoring mothers. We're going to honor you first. We thank you to know this, that we're to honor our Heavenly Father, to glorify Him, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that by yielding to the Spirit of God so He may do His job through us, that you might get maximum of what can be done through these frail bodies. And I pray today you bless the message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Exodus chapter 12 with me for just a moment. Read one verse of Scripture, then I want to look at Leviticus, and then you understand why. I want to read the fifth commandment that God gave to the nation of Israel and gave His law to human beings. And it simply says this: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I read verses like that, especially in the confines of this particular chapter, we have the Ten Commandments of God. What He says about honoring thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God given thee, is just as genuine as thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. Fact is equal to any one of those commands. Amen? Amen. Because God gave it in His law when He gave it on Mount Sinai. And of course, Exodus 20 is when He gave that law, those Ten Commandments. Now, if you look over in Leviticus with me, chapter 19, in verse 3, said, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God." If you look in chapter 20, in verse 9, He says again, "For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He had cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him." Now, as I look in Deuteronomy, in chapter 5, and see, he rehearses this commandment again, and he simply says this in chapter 5 and verse 16. "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now you say, "But preacher, all of that's Old Testament." Well, if you turn over to the book of Ephesians with me, in chapter 6, we'll read what Paul picks up, and the only thing he does is uses the Scripture that God gave about His law, where it be in Exodus 20, or Leviticus 19, or Leviticus 20, or Deuteronomy 5. Here he says simply this, in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 1, or chapter 6 in Ephesians, and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now notice he covers two categories here as far as an individual child. Children are those who have to obey their parents. No ifs, ands, buts about it. And of course he tells us and clarifies it, "For that which is right." And he tells us it should be in that which is right. No parent should ever try to get his child or cause his child to do something that's wrong. But on the other hand, he says when you're given instructions, obey. But then you realize that you don't stay a child in the sense as you would a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year old. Eventually you come as an individual on its own, leaving the nest. So when it gets to be older, maybe teenager and young adult, in adult life, you find he says, "Honor thy father and thy mother" is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now I want to speak to you this morning on honor thy mother. Or better still, the topic will be, why honor our mothers? Well, first of all, it's obvious. God said, do it. Come on now. Amen. If I say, "Thou shalt not kill," amen. "Thou shalt not commit adultery," amen. But He also said, "Honor thy father and thy mother." So we're going to take half of that today and talk about honoring thy mother. And this is a place where God gives us instruction. Why are members honored in our nation as far as mothers are concerned in this life? Well, first of all, we know God says to do it. But ceremonies in honor of mothers have been going on for centuries and have been called many things, honoring many kinds of different mothers. But in our nation, in the country, Mother's Day began with two sisters who were left alone after their mother died. And one of the sisters' name was Anna Jarvis. And her friends began to campaign to gain support from ministers and businessmen and politicians in declaring a National Mother's Day holiday. And the first Mother's Day observance was in Grafton, West Virginia, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, May the 10th, 1908. And that day, they asked that red carnation come to represent a living mother, and white carnation would signify that a mother was dead. But in May of 1913, a resolution was adopted by the House of Representatives requesting that the President and members of Congress to wear a white carnation on Mother's Day. And then later on, May the 8th, 1914, Congress declared that the second Sunday in May as a Mother's Day. Well, why honor mothers? Simply because God said to do so. God's fifth commandment given to Israel was honor thy father and thy mother. So we want to do that this morning, a few minutes. I thought about some things, run across some different things that mothers would say from time to time. And I know my mother didn't say all of these, but it's a combination of things that mother would say because she loves her family. And I thought it'd be interesting to read some of these things out. For instance, that mother would say, don't cross your eyes like that. Why, suppose your face would freeze. You ever heard that? Or they might say, what if everybody else jumped off a cliff? Would you do it too? I bet you told some of yours that. You might have said, look at me when I'm talking to you. Don't you look at me like that. You remember, at times I get your attention. She said sometimes, you eat everything on your plate. Don't you know there's children starving in China? Or they might say, no child of mine would ever do anything like that. Or do you think that your clothes are going to pick themselves up off the floor? How many times do I have to tell you, don't throw things in the house? Now, you just wait till your dad gets home. That seemed to be a very familiar one, doesn't it? What? Were you raised in a barn? Close that door. You better eat your carrots. They're good for your eyes. Hey, have you ever seen a rabbit wearing glasses? Don't you put that in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. There's enough dirt in those ears to grow potatoes. Hey, after you pick up your room, make your bed, brush your teeth, and comb your hair, you might be able to go out and play some. Don't talk with your mouth full. Answer me. Hey, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I care what you're doing. Amen. Don't sit so close to that television. You'll have to go blind. I'm going to give you until I count to three. And then again, I'm going to give you until I count to three. First time don't work, does it, sometimes? And again, if you can't say something nice to somebody, don't say anything. Answer me when I talk to you. Don't you talk back to me. And how many of this has ever had cutting the grass? I'll tell you one thing. When that lawnmower cuts your toes on, don't come running to me for it. Or this, and this is probably a favorite one. I hope someday that you're going to have children just like you. Well, what am I saying? There's no question that godly mothers are unique. They're gifts of God. And there's a tremendous important factor when it comes to the family for the mother. And I hope someday, as we, what you see today, that something will be said that someday might help us as individuals, especially mothers or those to be, would-be mothers. First of all, the reason that that we should honor mothers is because God said do it. The second thing I want you to note, though, why I honor mothers is because mothers are of great value and unique in their own way. They're different than us. And of course, we understand not just when a female. Did you know that one of the most influential positions in this world may be a mother's position? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that she enforces law, practices medicine, teaches without a degree, handles food, administrates drugs, practice emergency first aid, gives tests for physical, mental, and spiritual ills in life. She has the caps of any type of profession. Mothers can be the key to success or failure in her children's life. Billy Sunday said years ago, if you want to hurt the devil, don't hit him with a crutch, hit him with a cradle. And that's true. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 44. God said, as is the mother, so is her daughter. So, one thing when we have children, we do not beget what we want. A mother begets what they are. And I believe when we see and honor mothers being unique, every mother has a love for children that father don't understand. And yet on the other hand, father is needed. And when you finish this today, you'll understand why it takes a male and a female to have a home, a mother and dad, not two females or two males. So here, why honor mothers? Because God said do it. Secondly, why honor mothers? Because they're unique and of great value. Number three, though, why honor mothers? Because a mother's role in life is very special. Once conception is done, all devotion, all development of a human being's life depend upon a mother. That's in God's plan. Once that place takes place, that conception takes place, everything else is between God and the mother in the plan that comes for children to be born into this world. And ladies and gentlemen, when you think about this role, according to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want you to turn there because that's where we're going to be at for a few moments now. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, we have this given to us about a man and a wife. According to Ephesians 5, an early marriage is a drama of life. A male and a female meets in God's plan and purpose and come together in holy matrimony and begins a wonderful course of creating new people, personnel, male and female, for this world after the image of God. And when I look at this verse, in this drama, when you see, he says, verse 21 of chapter 5, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Watch what God says to begin with. The husband and wife both, the mother and dad both, are to be submitted themselves unto God, first of all. Then he tells what the wife submits herself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Notice he clarifies that, as unto the Lord. That simply means that he's going to be what he ought to be for her to be able to do that. And she has to be what she has to be for him to do what he has to do. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, notice in verse 25, husbands have a higher standard than the wives do, but both experience with each other the submission and love of Christ. So I want to go back to this drama. It's set in a drama here for the home when it comes just for the mother's part, as we look at how the dad assessed that. In this drama, God is the producer. In this drama, the Holy Spirit is the director. In this drama, Christ is the source. In this drama, the earth is the stage for the assignment that God has given you and I in our role as a male, female, or even later as a mother or dad or a husband or wife. He's given us, we do not write the script for this. God wrote the script for this. And he wrote it in the DNA also that we have in our bodies. So to a female, God assigned their body for the role that they play in the arena of life. Not only to be a wife, but also to be a mother. This role in the drama of life is like the church, he says in verse 22 through 24. That is, as you look at the home, it is to manifest the spiritual side of it. The home is a physical thing that you can read. The home is a physical thing that you can see. And as you see that, it can manifest the spiritual side of what Christ is, who is head of the church, and what the church is as being the bride of Christ. And then the husband, we find, is like unto Christ, and the wife is like unto the church. And that's the drama that he tells us about in this slide. So the female has got a sign about it, the role they play in the arena, and the role is in the arena, is that she is the church. Now the male body, though, on the other hand, God assigns the role you play. It's like Christ, he said, verse 23 and 25. So God has already written the script. And you know why? Happens, many in sin don't like the script, so they want to rewrite it. And that's what's happened today. That's women live, are just trying to rewrite the script. And you'll find it won't work rewriting it. When God writes something, you don't ever have to do a plan B. Plan A would work, and by the way, if he did ever start a plan B, it would work too without doing a plan C. So when I see what God has said here, it helps me understand some things I think about life. The male body has a sign. God has already written the script. The moment that you say, I do, and the preacher pronounces you and me as husband and wife, ladies and gentlemen, the curtain is lifted on the drama right then. The stage is set, and the scripture says, to death do you part. Now, we know, thank God, that God is a gracious God. But God gives perfect standard to us and then gives grace because the standard is broken. And many times when two become one, it cannot be one unless both want to be one. That's all there is to it. Just cannot be. And so when I see what this is doing about the mother side, the curtain is lifted and the drama begins. We cannot rewrite the script by saying my name or my mate is not playing his or her script right in life. And we're talking about the mothers today. Don't you know that you're supposed to practice your script, not his? And he is supposed to practice his script, not hers. Now that tells me now for a person who said, well, you know, I'm a man, but I just want to be a woman. No, you try to rewrite the script. Or a woman says, I'm a woman, but I want to be a man. No, you're trying to rewrite the script. Now, I know that's the thing that's not a trend of today, but that's God's principle from day one since he gave us the Bible and since he gave the law, and for 6,000 years it's ruled since Adam fell. And ladies and gentlemen, to honor God's mother today, we have to understand who we are and what has happened. Don't you know that you're supposed to practice your script? God set up the female as a woman to be a wife to become a mother. God set up the male as a male to become a husband to also be a father. But the problem is that in many today read the other person's script and they say he or she is not playing his or her right role. Well, the only thing we need to be concerned about is playing our own role. Let someone else decide that. So what God is telling us here, we become experts in identifying our partner's problem. Many are trying to change their role. And that's what the problem is. In our day, in my lifetime, I've seen individuals try to change their role in life. And when you do, you got chaos. A male can never be anything but a male. And a female can never be anything but a female. I don't care how much changes is done. When God set it up and when the role was set in the DNA and everything came together as far as conception is concerned, everything is there. Sin has messed a lot of things up, ladies and gentlemen, but God is still in control. And so when I look at this, I'm going to learn something about mothers I didn't know before. We become experts. God, the Holy Spirit, listen to me, God the Holy Spirit is the director of this drama. Jesus said this in John chapter 14 and verse 26. He said, the Father will send his Holy Spirit and he shall teach you all things. I believe that. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to be sent by the Father. I've got to leave. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. Now God cannot lie. That simply says to me, then he teaches me who I am, and I try to change that, then I'm trying to change what God said. You see, the reason people do that, they don't know the true and living God. They don't believe that. They believe that because of sin, it's going to make mistakes in lives, and therefore they are somebody they should not have been. No, if you mark it down and look back, with all the compassion I can say this with, it's because of sin that things change. And we have to understand that. And ask God to give wisdom as dealing with that. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. I'm glad to say that when I preach about hell or preach on something like this, I don't care who you are, where you're at on this planet Earth, God loves you, but he will not put up with sin. He paid the sin debt so we could go free. And therefore, that song, we all certainly will reap what we sow. So God, the Holy Spirit, is the director of this drama. And if he is, then it's the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, who's telling us, let me go over the part that you have in this arena. And I'll assist you with that part. And here are your lines in that script. God assigns a role as a wife is like the church. That's what he said. Read it. You can change it any way you want to. But you can't change anything he said in an earthly situation and telling the spiritual truth. That when it comes to the church, the wife in a marriage is like the church before Jesus Christ in God's plan. And the husband is like Jesus Christ, not so much that we are as perfect as he is, but we're symbolic of something to be able to see the drama that's going on when it comes to God and what he's doing with you and I in this life. And so God assigns a role as a wife is to the church. God assigns a role as a husband is also it's Christ. And notice he talks about submitting in chapter 5, verse 21. First he says, submitting yourself to one another. Now, the word submit means to yield to will or authority of another. But wait a minute. Submitting is an attitude before it actually is an action. Submitting is first an attitude, not necessarily an action, yet submitting can become an action, and submitting should be an action, because submitting is not done unless there's an action. And when you look at these words together, submit can become an action. In verse 21 tells us, summarizes the practical implication of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He said to be filled with the Holy Spirit, here's how the Holy Spirit would guide. This is a writing that he will have for the home. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit also is to understand our place as we have the role playing in this world to represent Christ and the church in the vicinity of the home. You can subject or obey your husband without submitting to him. Ephesians 4:24 tells us about submitting. Now you say, how, preach? Let me show you. Can you imagine a husband and wife having a problem the night before and get up the next morning? And the husband might say something like this, honey, would you please fix breakfast for me today? And she would say something like this, well, yes, I tell you what, I'll fix breakfast for you because I'm too subject to you, but I'm not because I want to. You might as well hang it up. Don't mean a thing. You know that, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah, I don't want to do it because your attitude should be first. If you don't do it, don't do it. But what I'm saying, that's an example. Now, listen, don't throw rocks at me next time you get up in the morning and you have something at the breakfast table. What I'm trying to give an example, God's word is real, folks, but we look at it such a way sometimes we're so confused. We just wanted to say what we wanted to say. But we can't do that when the Holy Spirit is the one who's actually directing this thing. You're to be subjected to your husband, yes. Submitting is an attitude. Obedience is an action. And God sees both of these. Yes, he does say subject to the husband. He does say, husband, love your wife. It's like the church is to Christ in verse 24 when the husband loves his wife because Christ loved the church. Yet the husband should be subjected to Christ as Christ is to God. Jesus Christ was subjected as a man to God the Father, but he was equal with him as God. So I think about sometimes in counseling, people say, well, I don't like a boss telling me what to do. Well, first of all, if you read that as a boss, you're reading it wrong. It doesn't say one thing about a boss here. A boss is somebody who's over a person on a job. I know what it is to be a boss through the years. I had up to anywhere from 20 to 40 people at time working years ago. A boss is over a job. This is not a boss. This is talking about a head. He's talking about head of something. And so it would work because we understand it. This is not like a boss over an employee. This is more like a head over a body, and we see that. In other words, don't forget the pressure is on when you and I say, I do, and become a wife or a mother or a father or a dad. In God's presence, we are to operate according to his script. And when we do, he blesses that. And when we don't, he does not. Now, thank God his mercy is extended, though, that when I try to do something or my mate tries to do something and we don't become one, then I'll not be held responsible for it if I do it like God said according to my script. That's all there is to it. I don't have to worry about that. God, Father, he don't change. There's no favoritism when God works unless they're in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so here, this thing is a mother. Honoring the mother is important pressure today. I mean, we are to adapt. The word submit means to adapt. We are to, wives are to adapt themselves to their husband, to be a sweetheart, to be a loving person, to be someone in turn that works towards the goal of the harmony of the home. But on the other hand, the husbands also are to love their wives. That means there'll be affection to her, show love, and it should be seen in a way that she knows is there without having to ask for it. And this leads to love and dignity. And that's what verse 21 says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. This leads to love and dignity and respect for each other. And so when it comes to a mother, then for her to be what it should be, she will first have her love for God, and then she'll have a love for her family, and then her love for herself. Because that's a priority. The love of self is selfishness. The love of God, though, is purity. And when there's a love of God, it's more than words. It is, what does God give me of my drama? What is my place in this act of life? The day I said I do, and the preacher said I pronounce you husband and wife. What is it now in my? I was a wife to start with, but now I have a family. I'm a mother now. That's an added thing on what am I to be in a mother? What is my drama as a mother in this particular life? So it's easy in this old world to forget our role, but the drama goes on in life. Especially when we have not studied out our lines well for this life. Let's face it, most of the time we've not studied out the lines for our life here, but we're going by what we've already heard. Somebody has to interpret something. And one thing is for sure, chapter 5, Ephesians 21, chapter 5, 21 to 25, is not like many times we've said many years ago. Because there is no domination here in the sense of superiority. We're all saved by God's grace. But it is a place of function. To function, you have to have harmony, and only God can set the pattern for harmony in a marriage. And only God can set the pattern for harmony when it comes to parent to children and children to parent. Children, obey your parents. Children, honor your parents. What is that? Because there comes a day, as a 20-year-old man, you don't have to obey everything a dad says or mother says, but you have to honor them. You may go against them in some things, and how you raise your children the way they raise theirs, unless it's a biblical principle. You have no argument on the biblical principle, folks. Thus saith the Lord, will stand no matter whose court you're in, and especially his court. And so I see a mother is very important, especially. Every child is put into a mother's arms as God trusts her for results. When we study our lives, we need to learn, Lord, what is my role? I need to learn, and it's a lifetime. What is my role as a husband? What is my role as a dad, as a father? A mother needs to learn. What is my role? Let me continue to learn till God calls me into death we part. This drama does not start and stop just because we want it to. It's to death do we part. And especially when we have not studied our lines well in this life. And of course, a mother's kiss. A child is put into a mother's arms, and a mother's kiss to a child gives inspiration, gives courage, gives hope, gives ambition, gives strength in the time of weakness. And I thank God for mothers who take their job seriously. As a mother, when God puts that baby girl boy in her arms to train and to raise up for God's glory, a true mother's love is not centered in herself, but first in her God, and then in her family. And this morning, we thank God for our mothers. If you are a mother here this morning, please stand. You're a mother here, please stand. Wherever you're at, just stand right up, right quick, like. We had 56 of them before, and got a few more than that this morning. I want to just simply say this to you. Today, ladies and gentlemen, mothers, we honor you. Why? First, God tells us to. It's a must. It is a necessary thing. I'm glad our nation did it, but we're not doing it because the nation said do it. We do it because God said do it. And we do that today as a body of believers here. And wish you a great day. Also, I say to you that you are unique in yourself, more so than man. And everything that amazes us, the part that man has, because it's very simple. But when birth comes, you went to the jaws of death. And men, we will not forget that. To the jaws of death to be born our children. On the other hand, also, in the process of growth, there's much that the mother can give to a child that dad cannot. And that's when I say humbly, mercifully, and kindly, you cannot be two women in a home and give what God says give in a home. You cannot be two men in a home and give what God says to give in a home. God gave a man and God gave a woman. He set the role. He set the DNA. He set it up so that one could do his part and her part and together create. God uses his images, come together as one to create a new specimen, though it's an image of God. I don't know how many billions of people have been born since Adam's day, but I know there's 7 billion on the face of the earth today. And every time God brings a man and woman together, who fall in love, and they produce an offspring. It is an individual in the image of God, and there's no other one ever been born just like him or her. So what a wonderful thing to see what God is doing. And so, ladies, we honor you because you're unique. We also honor you because you're great value to the home. And we know that in our day it's different. Maybe it was 100 years ago because most ladies stayed at home work. But for you to work and they'll do your part at home is an amazing thing. And you should be honored that you doubled yourself up. But never forget where you're at, who you are. God set the drama. And I'll say again, repeating, closing. The day that you said, I do, and the preacher announced you man and wife, at that particular moment, your drama started. And it will continue until death do you part. Even if you come and sometimes you have the problem, many do in our day, it doesn't make somebody worse than another. Just the fact you cannot ever have this union with offspring, and if it's disrupted in any way at all, you can never have what you had after that because it'll always be there. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And so you have to adjust. But today we want you to know, mothers, we honor you. And if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as Savior, don't be offended because we ask that. If you can't say, and any man here today can't say you know Jesus Christ as Savior, don't leave here without being come to know him. The greatest thing in this world, first of all, is to know him and then be brought together in holy matrimony to produce what God said produce and know one day it's all going to be over with, and then we will see what we've sowed when the reaping comes. Would everybody please stand? Father in heaven, Lord, we honor our mothers today because you told us to. And Lord, what a precious place this is. They wear many hats. And Lord, God forbid that anyone would ever mistreat a mother. You have given warning, especially for children who would curse their mother or curse their dad. Because when you gave the warning, you gave both. So what this is said about Mother's Day can be said about Father's Day. Because in the same time, you said, honor your father and your mother. Now, Lord, we do the mother part today. Thank you for every mother that's saved. Thank you for everyone has an input to our church. Make this a great day for them. If one is hurting, remove the hurt. If one needs reconciling, whatever need be done. Lord, when two people have become one, that's not easy. It's just not easy. And yet, you said it can be done, but you can't do it unless two people want to be one. And Lord, what a sad state in our day when someone would like to have that and can't because one has gone astray. And so we hold these up before you and say, dear Father, help us not run from this book, but run to it. Because Heavenly Father, this has the answer for everything. You didn't write this book and inspired it by the Holy Spirit to have just something to read. Lord, we've got enough of that already. You wrote it because it's absolute the Word of God. And you gave us the Holy Spirit so we could understand. And you said all things. Now, Lord, we may have some time trouble understanding all things, but you said we have the capacity to understand all things. And I believe that. We may have spent a lot of time studying it, but I believe that. And we can know what our role is. So when we stand before you one day, maybe we'll hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Not just the material things of this world, but in the drama of our own lives as we serve the living God. God, help someone today, please. I spent a lot of time on this, Lord, and early this morning, during 2 hours, so early in the morning. And I believe it all in my heart. It's what I preach is true. I believe that the drama's there. God wrote the script. And this book tells us the script. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us with the script. And Father, you will help us by your Spirit through your Word. Honor yourself today. Exalt the Lord Jesus and help someone as the Holy Spirit does his job. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.